Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Your Bible, you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. The scriptures will be up on the screen as well. I just want to share it. I'm going to try and go through it as quickly as possible, but there's really just a specific word on my heart, which I just want to encourage you with. And it stems from coming on the missions, but then also just with, where we're at the moment as a church family. And so, Father, I thank you that our hearts are open to receive. And I thank you that, you're just going to reveal truth to us as we dig into Scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. So the message that I want to share with you is really just that the gospel is the answer for the world. The gospel is the answer for the world. I mean, we've seen that now in Zim. We took the gospel there, and it impacted people's lives. We've done that, you know, since 2011 there, and we've seen how it impacted and continuously. You know, one of the testimonies I forgot to show you, but you have seen it before, was of a lady there called Prudence, who just came up to me after I taught at the Bible college there, and she said how a year before I had shared something. I taught on how you don't owe God anything and how God just accepts you, and it changed her life radically, and she was just testifying about that. That was awesome. Just like the gospel is really the answer, and that's what's the hope for the world. And so, you know, the message I got for you this evening, I think will challenge you. So I hope that you're here to be challenged. There's a difference between conviction and condemnation. Everybody hearing me? Say conviction. Okay. Most of you are awake. There's a difference between conviction and condemnation. Condemnation makes you feel like you're useless, you're not acceptable, and that you're evil or something like that. It's a negative thing. Conviction is now I know the truth, I know I can go in a different direction. Conviction is there's a better route. I was wrong. Okay? There's a difference. Often when I'm sharing truth, some people are like, oh no, you're condemning me. I'm not condemning you. I want you to see that there's a better way. Okay? So there's no condemnation for those in Christ. There's conviction of a better way. Amen. Okay, so this scripture says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:20. Okay? You get to your missions isn't just a once-a-year thing in July. I want to encourage you, if you have it on your heart to go to missions, it doesn't matter who you are, how old, how young, or whatever the case is, start preparing now. Start praying about going on missions next year. Take your whole family if you want to. It's awesome. It'll impact and change your life. But don't start praying. Don't pray that you're going to go on missions and you don't have a passport. Get your passport tomorrow. then you mean business. Because you've got to have every Christian should have a Bible and a passport. Okay? So get your passport. Then start saving. Start trusting. Okay? But if you look at the world, I mean, you've got Turkey going on at the moment. If you don't know the news, then don't worry. But you got Turkey. You got Zimbabwe. The day we left, we were supposed to leave. We do not recommend nor endorse Air Zimbabwe. The day we were supposed to leave to come back to South Africa, riots started breaking out. Okay, then they sold us a flight which never existed, and they'd put us on a flight a couple hours earlier and couldn't notify me because I've got a South African number and they're trying to get hold of me in Zim, all of that. But we left the next day, and we left the house at 4 in the morning to get to the airport on time. And they'd already started putting fires in the streets and stuff like that to get ready for the protest. And if you've watched anything on the news, you know, the people are rising up against an oppressive government. Okay? But it's chaos. Okay? You've got what happened in Nice. In France, you've got Orlando. You've got Texas. The world is going crazy. I don't know if you've seen. The world is going crazy. Okay? And you've got a lot of people on social media saying, pray for Zimbabwe, pray for Orlando, pray for anything. Let me just tell you, prayer is not the answer and it's not going to change the world. Okay, there's a couple of things I'm probably, this morning after, while I was sharing, I was like, this is simple stuff and, you know, it's not really that deep or anything. But then afterwards, there's a couple of people who came up to me and I realized I rattled a lot of cages. So if I rattle your cage this evening, consider it a blessing for you. just be ready to receive and grow. It's an opportunity to change. But prayer is not going to change the nation. What changes the nation is the gospel. God gave us the gospel, the message of what Jesus has done for us. And if we as the church take it out, it will transform people's hearts, like that former minister in Zimbabwe. And he'll be flooded with peace. He'll have joy. He'll have love. And it'll overflow. And his family is now changed. And everyone he influences has changed. And so the gospel changes lives and thus changes nations. If you want a nation to be saved or changed, then you've got to, it starts with the church. It doesn't start with politics. It starts with us doing what God's called us to do. The reason why there's a, I mean, the world's only going to get darker, but the church should shine brighter as the world gets darker. The moment, by and large, the church isn't really standing up and standing out. And we're not really going boldly to do what God's called us to do. So prayer is not the answer for the world. Is not the answer. Jesus and his gospel is. And the church has the answer. And I believe that the enemy knows this. And so his strategy is to get us distracted with everything except the mission. The enemy tries to distract us with anything except the mission. Think about that. John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Okay, this is God's heart. He wants to rescue, he wants to save. He didn't come to condemn. Okay, so the mission of the believer is vital, significant, and eternal. Matthew 28:18-19, Jesus gives us the Great Commission. I think it was Reinhard Bonnke who calls it the Great Omission. At many Christians, it's a Great Omission. It's not the Great Commission. It's something they leave out. But anyway, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So this is Jesus giving us our marching orders. He says, I've been given all authority, therefore go. And so, in short, Adam and Eve were given authority to rule and take dominion over the world. They gave it over to Satan through their disobedience. Jesus came and reclaimed that authority back. Okay? He reclaimed it through his sacrifice, his death and his resurrection. He won that authority back. And then the words there which say, go therefore, that's where Jesus transfers, he gives us power of attorney. He says, I've got the power. Yes, I do. I've got the power. And now he says, so do you. I know it rhymes. So what he's saying is he's transferring the power of authority. And he's saying, I've got all authority in heaven and in earth. Now you go in my name and change the world. Okay? And it's foolproof. Power of attorney is foolproof. You know, you can't mess it up. You can fail to sign the check. You can fail to make a claim. But you can't give that authority back to the devil to change the world. It belongs to Jesus, and he gives us the right to use it, okay, and to go out and change the world. So the interesting thing there is he says, go and make disciples of all nations. God's heart is the whole world, not just Stellenbosch, not just the Western Cape. God's heart is the whole world, okay, the whole world. Mark 16:15-18, and he said to them, go into all the world, not just your neighborhood. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and it goes on there. But he's saying, go to the whole world, all the world, the entire world, everyone. No one's excluded. Amen. No one is excluded. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is powerful. The purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to enable and empower you to be a powerful witness in all the world. It's not for you to just have goosebumps and feel good. A large part of the charismatic church has taken the baptism of the Holy Spirit and made it about laughing and about falling over and about feeling good. It does make you feel good. Things do happen. But the primary purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is that you be an effective witness of Jesus wherever you are. Okay? So that's the Holy Spirit doesn't birth complacency. He doesn't birth apathy. The Holy Spirit's purpose is to birth a passion, stir up a passion within us, and he empowers action. He doesn't empower sitting, waiting, doing nothing. We're called to go into all the world, not called to stay home. We're called to go. We're called to make a difference, to leave a mark on the whole world. Okay? And it's not just for the few, the clergy or the pastors and the leaders. You can impact the whole world. We'll talk about how in a moment. Okay, but this is for everyone. Okay, if we look through all these scriptures and we look through the book of Acts, we realize that God's rescue plan includes every one of us. You're a believer, you're included. You've got a work to do. Okay? Now, if you realize you're not part of the work, there's no condemnation. Now there's liberation. You're being freed because the truth is setting you free. You know something. Amen? I know you're excited about this. I can hear it. You're chewing on this so much that it's impacting you. And yeah, you're just quiet because you're so full. Amen. So, you know, the mission is our responsibility. But God would love you and bless you even if you don't do anything. Let me just throw that in. If you don't do diddly squat for the kingdom, God loves you and he'll bless you and he wants you to have a great life. But all of us should mature to the place where we're just overflowing. We have to tell someone. We just want to help someone. We want to reach out. We want to be a blessing. Okay? We're not born again and destined to become spiritual fat cats. You know what a spiritual fat cat is? The person who just listens to more teaching and 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 it's like they know everything backwards. That's awesome. Listen to more teaching. Keep feeding, but you need an outlet. Make sure you have an outlet. Be a blessing to someone. You know what a disciple is? You've got a believer and you've got a disciple. A believer is someone who Jesus loves and is going to heaven and is part of God's family. A disciple is exactly the same, except they're using what they've got and impacting other people too. They're not just going to heaven, they're taking people with them. Okay? Now, many of you are probably looking at me and saying, but it's your job. That's why I give. No, definitely not. Look at the next verse, Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds or pastors, the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Every single believer is a saint. If you're a believer, you're a saint. Not just Mother Teresa, you as well. Okay, we're saints. And the purpose of leadership is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, which is reaching out and then helping people get established through discipleship. That's why we have Rooted. That's why we're having discipleship training. That's why we do these things, is to help mobilize you to do the work of the ministry. Okay? So my job, I'm also a sheep, and I also make sheep, but my primary job is, as a shepherd, is to help sheep make sheep. You know the biology of it, I'm sure. Shepherds don't make sheep. They look after sheep. They tend sheep. I'm here to look after you and help you and equip you to be able to make sheep. Okay? So that's what leadership's role is. Acts 1:8 is saying, you know, go into all the world, preach the gospel. I mean, that's not. It's saying that you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So it's showing us our mission, and it's saying that we're called to go into, take this power and impact the whole world. Okay, but sadly, even in the early book of Acts, Christians fell into the trap of let's just enjoy what we've got. Let's just enjoy the success that we've got. And so, you know, right in the beginning, they fell into the trap and they ended up focusing on just building a local church and not focusing on the entire world. Go read it in Acts. Acts 2, 46-47. So, continuing daily with one accord. That's beautiful. They had unity in the temple. They were all together, breaking bread from house to house. They had fellowship. Isn't that wonderful? They ate their food with gladness, simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added daily those who were being saved. Now, that's awesome. And we need to focus on building a strong community here, and we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But what I want you to see is that people were getting saved. The church was growing locally. There was great unity, great things were happening. Read about it. There's miracles happening and all of that, but they were not fulfilling their purpose to go. They were not fulfilling their purpose to go. We are called to go and not to get comfortable and stay. That's why, I mean, a lot of people were upset about us sending Alicia and Carl to Albania to go and plant a church. Because they were like backbones in the ministry here. Those are the kind of people you have to send. Yes, we miss them, and you know, we had to kind of pick up a lot of things and start doing a lot more things here. But hey, Albania is blessed, and we're part of that blessing because we sowed our best. You don't just want all your eggs in one basket. That's the world system. The kingdom is let's sow. Let's sow as far as we can. We're called not to passivity, but to activity. So this church, the early church, started out as a holy huddle, and they didn't go. Okay, they weren't focused on going. And then one of the best things that could have ever happened to them. Are you ready for this? Acts 8, verse 1. Now Saul was consenting to his death, Stephen's death, the first martyr of the church. He was being killed for his faith. And at that time, there was a great persecution. Say, great persecution. Arose against the church. Say, against the church, which was at Jerusalem. So they were all gathered in Jerusalem, and a persecution came up against them. And they were all scattered. Say, scattered. They were all scattered throughout all the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. So for some reason, all the leadership stayed in Jerusalem. But because of this persecution, the believers ended up everywhere. God didn't persecute them. God didn't cause the persecution. God wasn't punishing them. God wasn't trying to mobilize them to get out. God didn't plan this. 2 Timothy 3:12 says that all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. They were experiencing what you will experience when you live godly. People don't like it. Okay? But this is the best thing that could have happened, because if we look at Acts 8:4, it all of a sudden changes. And I don't know if this is up there, but it says, therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Verse 4 says, those that went everywhere, that were scattered, went everywhere preaching the word. And that's what God wanted. So all of a sudden, they've caught a wake up. They're going out on the streets, and they're preaching the word wherever they go. That's good. So God's will was eventually being accomplished. The persecution came from the enemy, and he was trying to stop the message from going. He was trying to break up the power of unity and the power of the believers and everything that they had together. But he couldn't, because he struck them, they scattered, and the message spread. That's beautiful. That's really awesome. So we need to live like this, not enjoying persecution, but we need to be spreading the message wherever we go, whatever we're doing, telling people about Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:3-4. It says, this is good and pleases God our Savior. God wants everyone to be saved and to fully understand the truth. There's two things that should be, that God's desire, and they should be our desire. Everyone to be saved. No one's excluded. God doesn't want some people saved and some people to be Judases. Judas chose to be Judas. God used that, but Judas chose to be Judas. God didn't predestine him to be Judas. Okay, we're not going there. But the point is that he wants everyone. Scripture says everyone to be saved. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He wants everyone to be saved and everyone to fully understand the truth. These are God's desires, and we need to unite our desires with God's desires in being outward focused and reaching out. Okay, so, you know, why are we reaching out and leading people to receive Christ? Because it's our privilege, it's our calling. That's why we go on missions. That's why we have church services. That's why we equip you and train you. We have, you know, if you don't want to talk to someone about Jesus, take them a resource. Give it to them. And you just keep feasting on the word and filling yourself with word. Keep feasting on the fatted calf. Amen? If you don't know what I'm talking about, get the message from last week. And then you'll start to overflow and want to be sharing with other people. But we want to, we reach out to people because we want to grow God's family, the church. We want to grow God's family, which is the church. Okay? Growing a church happens through reaching out, evangelism. It happens through discipleship. Okay? We don't just need roots to go far. We also need them to go deep. Evangelism is the far. Discipleship is the deep. We need to go deep. Otherwise, there's no roots in you. You won't last. That's why we have a Bible school and things like that. We want to help you dig deeper. Okay? But if we're serious about church growth and about reaching the nations, we got to know what should the church look like. So think about it for a moment. What is God's heart for the church? What should it look like? You ready to have your cage rattled? Only no one. I hope this rattles you. The kind of church which is on God's heart. Okay. God wants us to be an active force in the world. Us to be influential. Yeah, he said, you're the salt of the earth. Salt changes things. You're the light of the world. Light shines in darkness. It changes things. Okay. We should be the most influential force on the face of the earth. Not Islam. Us. Okay. But in order for that to happen, we've got to move from a bless me club to the church. We're not called to just be a bless me club. You coming to be blessed, that's awesome. I'm coming to be blessed. We come to church to be blessed. But we shouldn't just stay here to be blessed and bless me, God, I've got problems, bless me, or whatever. We've got to move beyond that and mature to the place where we're ministering to people and reaching out to people. You've got needs, I've got needs, we've all got needs. Stop focusing on your needs and start being a blessing. You'll see your needs met. Okay? So, you know, John 3:2 says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. God wants you blessed. God wants you blessed, okay? But the blessing is for a purpose. Genesis 12:2, he says to Abraham, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make you famous and you will be a blessing to others. God wants to bless you so you can be a blessing, not just so that you can sit and say, I'm blessed. He doesn't want you to be able to just sit back and go, I'm so blessed. And then we can sing the song, I'm blessed, you know, it's all about me being a blessed. It's blessed to be a blessing. God wants you to be a blessing. He wants you to be an encourager. Be encouraged so you can encourage. Be strengthened so you can offer strength. Have money so you can bless other people with money. Amen? So, what kind of church is God looking for? Ephesians 2:11-18. You were not born as Jews. You are the people the Jews called the uncircumcised. And so now it's talking about two different groups of people. Those Jews who call you uncircumcised call themselves the circumcised. Their circumcision is only something that they themselves do to their bodies. Remember that in the past, you were without Christ. You were not citizens of Israel. You did not know about the agreements with the promises that God made to his people. You had no hope. You did not know God. So we were in a very bleak place. Amen? Yes, at one time you were far away from God. But now in Christ Jesus, you are brought near to him. You are brought near to God through the blood sacrifice of Christ. Verse 14, Christ is the reason we are now at peace. He has made us Jews and you who are not Jews, one people. Paul's talking about unity here. He's talking about two different racial groups coming together as one. Okay, watch it. Christ ended the law. I'm just going to go from verse 15. Christ ended the law with its commands and rules. His purpose was to make two groups become one in him. And by doing this, he would make peace. Through the cross, Christ ended the hate between the two groups, the Jews and the Gentiles. And after they became one body, he wanted to bring them both back to God. He did this with his death on the cross. Christ came and brought the message of peace to you non-Jews, because he's a Jew, so he's speaking to the non-Jews, who were far away from God, and he brought the message of peace to those that were near to God, the Jews. So what is he saying? He's saying that, hey, there's one way to Jesus. There's one way to God, and that is through Jesus. Okay? There are not two ways to God. Even if you're a Jew, you need to be born again. So he's saying there's three different people groups here. There's the Jew, there's the non-Jew, what we call Gentile, and there's the church. That's what this is saying. There's the Jew, there's the non-Jew, the Gentile, and there's the church. If you're a Christian, doesn't matter even if you were born a Jew. If you're a Christian, you are now church. That's your group that you identify in the three. You're not a Jew, you're not a Gentile, you're a church, you're a believer. Okay, so in Christ, there is no division. Christ unites us. He truly unites us. Politics cannot unite us. It can only divide us. I mean, I was involved in politics for many years. And even within Christian politics, meaning Christian circles where everyone's Christian, I was serving in a Christian party, there's lots of division. Christ unites us, but I mean, political agenda is political agenda often. But I'm just saying to you that politics isn't what's going to bring change to the nation. What's going to bring change? the gospel. And the gospel unites us. Look around tonight. The gospel unites us. Okay? Look, this scripture isn't on there. I just want to get it. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. It's not up there because I forgot to put it in. It says, 27 and 28, it says, "For as many of you who are baptized into Christ have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek." It's talking about race. There's no race. There's no Jew nor Greek. There's no race. There's neither Jew nor Greek. And that amen was from a Greek. Okay? Philip. "There's neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free." There's no economic level. You might be the wealthiest person in the country. There's no difference between you and me. Economics, we're all on the same playing field. You're not closer to God because you got more money. Okay? "There's neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free. There is neither male nor female." Gender has been an issue for years in the world, never mind the church. And this is saying, hey, we're all equal in front of God. We all are acceptable for God. It says there, "For you are all one in Christ Jesus." You are all one in Christ Jesus. Okay, so in Christ, there is no division. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 5. Okay, this is Pentecost. Pentecost is coming. Jesus is sending the promise of the Holy Spirit. And then we see that there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Say every nation. From every nation under heaven, there was a bunch of people gathered on the streets there, and they were hearing the disciples speaking in tongues. They were hearing their own language being declaring the goodness of God and all of that. And then the next verse, look what happens, verse 41. "Then those that accepted what Peter said." So Peter preaches, and then they accept his message. They were baptized that day, and 3,000 people were added to the church. 3,000 people from every nation under heaven. The first church, this is the church, the birth of the church. The first church that ever existed was multicultural. God's heart for us is to be multicultural. It's true. This is God's heart. He wants us to be a multicultural church. This is kingdom culture. In Christ, there's no Afrikaans and there's no white, there's no English, there's no black, there's no colored. There's no division like that. In Christ, there's church. In Christ, there's kingdom culture. Okay, now you might love your culture. I love your culture. I love my culture. Maybe I don't love it as much as you do, but you've got it and that's awesome. But you can't take your culture to heaven in a sense. You still, you know, look at this verse. Revelation 7, 9 to 10. This is showing us the picture of the church in heaven and what we're going to experience one day in heaven. "Then I looked, and there was a large crowd of people. There were so many people, no one could count them all. They were from every nation, tribe, race of people, and language of the earth. And they were standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They wore white robes and had palm branches in their hands." You know what that says to me? They were all extremely diverse, but they all dressed the same. They were all wearing exactly the same robe, and it was righteousness. There wasn't one better than the other because of the racial group. They all looked the same. They were all doing the same thing. And this is what they were saying. "Victory belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." They were just worshiping God together as one. It wasn't the white church, the black church, the colored church, the Indian church, the this church, the that church, the English church, the Afrikaans church. They were all different languages, but they were speaking one language. And this is God's heart for us. Okay? This is God's heart for us. Kingdom culture, you know, it trumps your culture any day. And I know that maybe you love your culture very much, so forgive me, but the kingdom culture trumps your culture any time. You know, question of should I marry someone? If I'm white, should I marry someone who's black? I think that's the wrong question. The right question is, are you the right culture? And to answer that question, you've got to ask yourself, Are you kingdom culture? Are you the same race? Because I married cross-cultural. I married someone who isn't the same culture as me. I'm a white guy. I grew up in Durban. I grew up actually in multicultural, cosmopolitan. It was very different to the Cape. When I got here, it was a culture shock. I wasn't used to having white friends. then you know, I met this girl who's a white Afrikaans girl from Swartland. She was white, but she was from Swartland, yeah. And we got married, and we have two kids. That's a multicultural relationship. You may not realize it, but that's different. If you're marrying an unbeliever, I mean, that's just stupid. But secondly, it's completely different worlds. Never mind different cultures. Okay, but that was for free. I'm sure it blessed someone. But the when it comes to multicultural, you know, now we have two kids. William is just over 3 and Elliot is just over 1. So we have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. And obviously we had to have the discussion, how are we going to raise them? You know, and I've seen it in relationships where it swings one direction. I'm English, so they're going to be English. You know, we were on the beach one day and we saw this little boy running down the beach. He was, I don't know how old he was, probably about 5. He's just bolting. And these two old people are running after him, trying to catch him. Looks like his grandparents. So I ran after the boy. I said, go and tell my wife, go and tell the grandparents that I'll catch him. So I went and caught him and I started talking to him. And he started talking in this very, very strong Afrikaans accent. So I was speaking English to him because he was speaking English to me. And eventually the grandparents caught up, half dying because they're out of breath. And Marna was there too. And she started speaking Afrikaans to him, and they said, he doesn't understand Afrikaans. We're like, what? She said, no, well, the parents wanted him to have more opportunity, so they only speak English to him, and obviously their English isn't very good. That's more of a disadvantage. But, you know, for us, we decided we're going to raise our kids English and Afrikaans, and we're going to teach them every language we can. If you were at church this morning, you would have seen both my boys had little shirts like this. We've had Lamek and his family come and stay with us. They are used to interacting with different cultures. We're preparing them to be kingdom-minded, where it's a culture, race, and language and stuff doesn't matter. You know, when Auntie Patience comes in the week to come and help Marna clean the house and stuff, my boy William gets very excited. He can't wait for Auntie Patience to come, and then he helps her everywhere. Let's do the washing together, let's do this, let's do that. And they love, you know, he gives her a hug, goodbye, and everything, because they enjoy each other's company. You know, there shouldn't be any racial divide. So we're not raising an English child or an Afrikaans child, we're raising a kingdom child, because they need to be able to go anywhere in the world and make an impact. We shouldn't be limited by our culture. Culture shouldn't be the thing that defines us, kingdom should. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. That defines you. Amen. So, yeah, for example, we've thought of this for a couple of years, and it's been a suggestion which has come up, and it's a good suggestion to have Afrikaans services. That's the first suggestion. And, you know, for the time being, we're not going to do that because we want to be inclusive and we don't want to start causing division. We've always said we're an English church with an Afrikaans community because we want to be able to reach many more people. Our sister church in Zimbabwe is a Shona-speaking church. That everybody speaks Shona except maybe 3 people, and because of that, they have English services because they want to reach more people. It works there. Yes, there'll be a few people we can't reach, but we can't reach everyone. We try and reach everyone. And in the future, maybe we'll try and accommodate for an Afrikaans service, but at the moment, it'll just dilute our efforts. We can have life groups in Afrikaans. By all means, if you want to have an Afrikaans life group, speak to Peter. He's heading up life groups. He can help you get going. But the point is we need to be inclusive, and English is the common language. The other thing is, God called me to start Grace Life. I'm English. I can do your wedding in Afrikaans, believe it or not. But the service will be in English here. Okay? So, you know, another suggestion was we had, you know, wanting to be, we thought of starting a service in Solari's Pass because many of you are from Solari's Pass. And I told you on Friday we're not going to do that. We had an awesome time in Solari's Pass on Friday. Wasn't it great? You know, we had a great time there together. And I said to them, we're not going to have a church here. You know, maybe one day we'll start a church in that whole area, Somerset West and whatever, but we don't want to start a colored church and a white church and a this. We want we need their culture, and they need our culture. We need to mix. That's God's heart. Okay? I like the amens. Keep going. It's good. So practically, you know, instead of creating separate services to accommodate every culture and every language and things like that, you know, we're going to do our best to be inclusive of culture so that everybody feels welcome. If you were here and you were in time for the worship, you would have noticed that. Last week and this week, we started adding some different types of songs, which you might not be used to. We found some good Afrikaans songs now, so we've included that in, and we found some other songs which are different style, and we want to get you used to different cultures because we're going to get ready for more people of different cultures to come in. Okay, so you know, let's make a commitment to seek how to to reach out across cultural divides. Okay, actively build a church which reflects God's heart, not just it's easy to reach out to people like me. Yeah, I want to reach out to people like me. I attract people that are like me. But that, in discipleship, the guys which I started off discipling years back were not like me. I had to learn to like the things they like because we were different. But the word is what drew us together, and we became good friends. You don't just disciple people like you. You can disciple someone who's completely different to you, and you can become best friends. Lamech and I are a very unlikely pair. Who would put us together in the natural? He's very dark and I'm not. And yet we've gone on family holiday together and yeah, it's awesome. We really enjoy each other's company. We're brothers and we drove from Harare all the way up to the top of Tanzania for an outreach once. That's a very long way together in the car. We enjoyed silence together. We enjoyed talking about the word. We enjoyed also, you know, we enjoy each other's fellowship. We're best friends. So, you know, culture and language and everything shouldn't divide us. Jesus unites us. Okay, so I want to encourage you practically. You know, seek to get to know someone in the church that is not like you. After church, don't just be drawn to the people like you. Purposefully go out of your way and have coffee with someone and cake because it's our birthday. Have cake and coffee with someone who is not like you. Amen? Seek to build genuine friendships with people who are not like you. This is God's heart. Okay? I told you you'd have your cage rattled a bit. 2 Corinthians 5:17-20. Therefore, if any man be everyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're in Christ, you're a new creation, you've got a new way of living. Kingdom. Not English, not Afrikaans, not colored, not white, not black, not Xhosa, not Ndebele, not anything. It's kingdom. Okay? Now all these things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He's given you a ministry. You have a ministry, and it's to bring people together. Bring people together with each other in Christ and bring people together with God. Okay? That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, not holding their sin against them, and has committed the word of reconciliation to us. This is the message which we have. God's not angry with you. This is, we go out there, we're not telling people, turn or burn, you're such a mess, sort yourself out, come back to God. We're like, God loves you, he accepts you, he's dealt with your sin, you're forgiven. Just accept him. Just accept him. And when you accept him, hey, what doesn't matter what color you are, we're brothers, we're brother and sister. Okay? Then we're one in Christ. And it goes on and it says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You're a representative of God Almighty with his message, and he is in you reaching out to people around you. We've got a mission. The mission is to build God's family. God isn't just wanting to build a black family, a white family, or whatever family. He wants us to break out of that and reach out to everyone. Amen? Now, you don't have to quit your job and move to a foreign country. If you want to, praise God, come and speak to me. We've got a place for you. Definitely. But the point is that we don't all have to do that. Okay, we can just reach out where we are. Look at Acts 1:8 again. It says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Okay, look at the map, which comes in after there. Okay, so I should have a pointer, but just at this, the Dead Sea is this water mass at the bottom. Just to the left of it, you see Bethlehem and Jerusalem above it. That's a city, Jerusalem. So Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on, you'll be witnesses in your city. Then you see that that area where Jerusalem is Judea. Above it is an area called Samaria. Okay, so what Jesus was saying is you will be witnesses in Stellenbosch, in the Western Cape. Okay, that's incorrect. For those of you in Stellenbosch, For those of you in Durbanville, For those of you in Solaris. For those of you in Somerset West, Gordon's Bay, wherever you're from. We're from a number of different areas here tonight. So whatever your town is, God wants you to be a witness there, and then to the Western Cape, and then to South Africa, and then to the ends of the earth. It's a worldwide plan. It's not just local. Yes, he wants us to impact local, but we've got to continuously be outward focused for local and international. We didn't go to Zimbabwe because we wanted to. God opened the door for us. We had we built relationship with Lamech and the church there, and the rest is history. We're not kind of going, oh, we want to go to Morocco. Let's find someone in Morocco. We're not doing that. God's building bridges. He's connecting. He connected us with people in Albania. That's why we have a church there. It was on his heart that we go there. And even though we're sitting here, we're there. This morning, four people got born again in the service and one person on the street as somebody went outside the service just for a minute and then led someone to the Lord. And you're part of that. That was this morning. That's awesome. We're going by sitting. When the bucket passes you by and you put something in, that's your going. You're part of the mission. Amen. Your workplace is your mission field. Your family is your mission field. Your neighborhood is your mission field. Be an ambassador and a witness wherever you are. Amen. Wherever you are, help to reach the world by earning money. You know, a lot of people, after I speak like this sometimes, they get upset and they're like, so there's no use to my job. There's no purpose for me working. There is. We need your money. Amen. The people that you work with need to know what you know. You need to build friendship with them and start reaching out to them. But at the same time, I mean, how else are we going to impact the world? I can't reach the people you can reach. I'm here to equip you to reach the people that you interact with. Then you reach them, you can bring them to church, and both of you can give your money. And we can plant churches all over the world. That's exciting for me. You know, when I heard about the unrest in Turkey, my heart went out. That place is close to my heart. And I was like, Lord, I'll go now. Even though there's all the military's staging a coup, which I think is good, and they're trying to take over and everything, I'm like, I would love to go there now and plant a church and preach the gospel. I know I'm not called to do that now, so I'm not going. I thought I'd get at least one amen, but. I'm not going anywhere. I'm here. But it's like, Lord, you know, we need to get this message out. That should be our heart. We're praying for the nations, for the believers in the different nations, but we're not just praying. We're going. We're doing. We're sending money. You know, one of the things I want to do over the next couple of weeks, which I haven't mentioned actually anyway, is our sister church in Zimbabwe, Caris Ministries, has been trying to build a church for 3 or 4 years now. I think it's 3 years. And every time that they're coming to completion of the building, and this is in Marandera, which is one of the villages, they've been given land and they've started building, but they're unable to complete it because they're always putting the money into missions. And that would be awesome if we can take an offering and just bless them. That's sowing because they're making an impact, active impact in the nation there. Amen. So, Father, I want to thank you that you've given us good news to be able to share with the whole world, that you've called each and every single one of us for something wonderful and something great, Father. Thank you that we have the privilege of being your ambassadors and reaching out to the world, Father. You are good, Father, and we thank you that your heart is for a multicultural church. So help us to be able to just cross racial divides, cross barriers of language, and just connect with each other and realize that we're one in Christ, we're family. Jesus' name. Amen.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.